So what makes Preston's Online Academy different?
Sure. So what we do that's a little different than a lot of online education organizations that exist is we have a lot of emphasis and focus on synchronous class sessions. We think that, you know, when we really looked at the landscape of online education in the past 3 or 4 years, there was a big focus on asynchronous work and self-paced work and students making their way through course modules at their own pace and at their own time. And there's a lot to say for that. You know, there's a lot to say for the flexibility that affords students who can't be in a fixed place and time. So I totally understand that. But I also think what we believe, you know, is that the connection that comes from a synchronous class session between a teacher and a student or a group of students, it's something that really can't be replicated. And it's really about, you know, really good teachers forming a connection, an emotional connection with a group of students and really caring about their outcomes. You know, are they learning? Are they asking the right questions? Are they progressing, you know, in the way that the course is intended for them to progress? And that's something that's really hard to do asynchronously. It's really hard to do without someone watching them and making sure they're understanding what they need to be understanding. And that's something that we realized that there was a bit of a hole. We realized that, you know, online education had become this sort of synonymous with asynchronous work, you know, and we don't think it had to be. And we think that's one of the things that COVID showed. You know, COVID showed that online education has its challenges, but it can be done really well. Education can be done really well online if that's your focus and if you really try to make it work. So that's sort of how we're different and what we continue to be focused on now that COVID is starting to be something fortunately that's less of an issue than it was, you know, 3 months ago.
No doubt. So you started this kind of online thinking pre-COVID, which is pretty interesting because that's obviously sure. When it really took off. Where do you see, considering COVID and how it's impacted learning, where do you see online education going in the next 5 years?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think the stigma around online education for my generation, you know, I'm in my 30s, and for your generation, it is a little different now than maybe for an older generation, for a generation above me. I think there's, you know, your generation is learning online more and more every year, and that was happening before COVID. And learning online takes a lot of different forms. You know, you're watching a Khan Academy video, or you're just trying to make a recipe and you pull up YouTube and pull up a tutorial video about that recipe or whatever you're trying to do. Or you're watching a TikTok video and learning something, you know, about someone. You know, there's a lot of different forms where you're engaging with material and information online. So that's gonna only continue, and that's gonna only increase is your generation and the generation below you's comfort and familiarity with processing information online in this way. And so instead of, you know, thinking that that's something that we should be sad about or that we should reject, we should think about how to optimize that. We should think about how does that work as well as it can possibly work. And what we contend, you know, is that having really like teachers, not necessarily of the same generation, because some of our best teachers that we have teaching with us are, you know, older, are 60, 70 years old, but they embrace this trend, and that they embrace that online education can be done really well. So it's really not a generational thing in that sense. It's really just an openness to this new way of education and learning. And so that's what we work on every day, Jake, is how does this happen as well as it can possibly happen? You know, how are students engaged in this format? You know, how are they just engaging with not only their teacher but other students in the class, the course material that, you know, we're asking them to engage with, because that's going to be a really important question in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years is this moving online, whether we like it or not. How is it done as well as it can possibly done online? And I think a lot of you know, a lot of traditional schools made a really great pivot to online when they had to because of COVID, but most of them are going to go right back to, you know, the way they have done things. And that's fine. They do great things in that way. But there needs to be people, and this is where Preston's comes in, who are thinking about this shift to online from a bigger picture perspective, you know, and just thinking about it for a new generation of learners who are way more open to having their formal schooling be online than a generation ago.
And I think part of that, it's interesting because a lot of people look at online learning as kind of like, you know, they don't get to see their friends, which I totally understand. A lot of people look at it a way to kind of slack off.
Sure.
And that's been kind of my experience. How do you...
So the socialization piece is a really good one. And we hear that a lot. And there's definitely something to that. What we contend is that socialization can take many different forms. We are socializing right now, Jake. You know, we are in a social experience right now, just talking in this synchronous sort of Zoom session. There's also ways to get socialization outside of your formal education. You know, we don't need to link your school with your socialization to such an extreme degree as it has traditionally been associated. You can follow whatever passion you want. You can go play hockey. You can play tennis. You can, you know, join a dance club or a chess club. You can. There's so many different things that you can do for that athletic piece, for that socialization piece. It doesn't need to come and be always that side. It doesn't need to be inextricably linked with your formal schooling. So that's something that, you know, we get a lot, and I just don't always see the exact link between those two things.
And as a truly, really international school with kids from all over the world,
yeah.
How do you navigate? I mean, do you preach friendships at your school, or is that kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is places for learning, outside is for friendships. How do you
navigate that? Absolutely. I mean, I think any good teacher, and this is what we really strive, you know, with our teachers, they create a social sort of atmosphere within a synchronous class session. You know, kids feel valued. They feel like they want to be there. They feel like they can make a joke. They feel like they can laugh. They feel like they can be a kid, you know, in a social situation. And that is really important. Now, are these kids, you know, we have kids from Ukraine. We have kids this morning from Hangzhou, China in class. We have kids from all over, you know. Those kids may not be friends in the traditional sense of the word in terms of they go, you know, do something after school together. But they're forming a relationship in this sort of different way, in this context that we are creating around their school and their online. And, you know, a lot of times a community does get formed. A community gets formed by students working tackling the same issues in their classes at the same time and having to think through things together. And that's sort of what, you know, we love that we can be a truly global school, you know, with students thinking about similar things who are coming at it from really different places and perspectives, you know, and there is a bond that forms, you know, when students are going through something like that together. And our program is pretty rigorous. So it's, you know, they have to sort of, they have to commit to it and they have to work hard at it. It's a lot of this, Jake, is thinking about friendship and a bond, you know, in a slightly different way than it's maybe traditionally thought of, you know? So I think that's important to maintain that perspective with this too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it takes tremendous teachers to kind of facilitate these experiences.
Yeah.
I think one of the Absolutely. Unique aspects of Preston's is kind of the idea that good teachers matter. How do you go about kind of navigating, okay, who do I hire? Will she or he be good at this whole online learning thing? And how do teachers who haven't really experienced that yet kind of, is it kind of a one size fits all? Is it a natural thing? Is it something you kind of have to work towards? How do you hire?
It's a good question. You know, it's something that it's an absolute, so teaching in and of itself is a craft, you know, and not anyone can be a teacher. You know, being a teacher is a really hard thing to do well, you know, and even going beyond that, being a teacher online is an even different craft. There are some teachers that we have, you know, through experience that we know are really excellent classroom teachers. You know, in a physical classroom, they can do great. When they move online, sometimes those skills aren't totally transferable, you know? And so at that point, it's our job, you know, to be a place where if you're a good teacher and if you're a really good teacher, you understand the responsibility. You know, you're not just, you know, teaching kids, you yourself, you know, don't want to evolve and want to get better at things. And so the best teachers we've found, and one of the traits that we look for is not being fixed in your ways or stuck in your ways, is being open to sort of evolving as a teacher and thinking about this differently. And so, no, we do spend a lot of time recruiting teachers who have that trait, you know, who want to be good at this, who understand the importance of this skill set of being good teaching online. And we work hard to find them and recruit them, and we work hard to train them, you know, in how we think this should be done. And, you know, it's something that it's a big part of our operations, is constantly looking for teachers, you know, and trying to support those teachers we have in the best way we can. And constantly evolving ourselves, you know, thinking about, you know, how is this, you know, how are we providing the best support? How are we finding the best teachers? You know, how does this group of students fit with this specific teacher? You know, because some teachers fit the same type of student and some don't, you know, so it's something that we, you know, it's the connection between the teacher and student is the most critical part of our operation. It's something we think about all the time, you know, so that's, you know, it's something that we have to prioritize, or, you know, what we're doing sort of goes away.
Right. Well, how do you, I mean, when you talk about like stuck in your ways, I mean, a lot of teachers are like that in today's world, but a lot of organizations and institutions are like that as well. Both attended boarding school. I attend boarding school right now.
Yeah.
In your experience, because of the traditional boarding school kind of idea that, you know, education should be how it's always been, in your experience, how kind of negligent, or how, you know, how are boarding schools particularly responding to this new demand for online learning?
Yeah, no, I think, you're talking about boarding schools, like in like traditional sort of boarding schools, how are they responding to it? I think, you know, we have a lot of teachers who teach with us have some experience at, you know, a boarding school or previously taught at a boarding school. So I know, that they were put, a lot of boarding schools were put in a really challenging, you know, position and situation. And there's a lot of expectation that comes with the student body and the parents and the extended network from students who attend those type of schools, you know? And so it was a really, really difficult position that a lot of really smart people worked really hard on to make the best of, you know? So I think they, by and large, from everything I've heard, did remarkably well. You know, they dedicated a lot of resources. They thought a lot about how this could work well. But I do think there was always, and this is a generalization, but there was always sort of an overriding, like, let's just get through this, you know, let's get through this so we can get back to the way things were. And frankly, our traditional business model, you know, of how things, you know, is sort of rooted in keeping things the way they are, you know? And I think, you know, there was, I'm sure this occurred, but from what I, you know, from what I've seen and my experience, there wasn't a ton of like, okay, what are we, you know, what are we taking from this? And what are we sort of keeping after COVID is over and after the way things were, and what works well about this? And I think those were a lot of important questions that might've been asked, you know, but I don't know how seriously, you know, they were thought through and what's going to be enacted moving forward. You know, I'm not sure, you know, but it's something that we're just sort of focused on what we're doing. And we see the sort of, we see the need, and we see sort of what's happening, and we're going to do our best to provide just the best possible online experience for students moving forward.
Yeah. So switching gears here a little bit, you worked in France for a few years.
Sure.
I'm always kind of interested in like what other countries are doing that we're not, that we probably should be instituting in our modern education. What is France doing that the United States could use that'd be helpful?
I can't really speak to that too much. You know, we haven't really studied the French model. You know, my experience in France was mostly, you know, me teaching English right out of college to students in a French high school in Marseille, which is in the south of France. And you know, the biggest takeaway for me, you know, personally there was teaching is hard. You know, it's hard to get up in front of a group of students, whether you have a lesson plan or not, you know, or whether you speak the language fluently that these students are speaking or not, and command their respect and their engagement for a full class period, for a full week, for a full semester, for a full year. It's really hard, you know, and it's not something that you can just throw anyone in there and take lightly. And that's something that we're, you know, we are starting to work with directly with international schools located in different countries, you know, to offer some of our classes and our teachers in an online setting to their students, because these schools are struggling with recruiting really, really quality teachers, you know? And so they, what we're doing, you know, is we're figuring out an online way, you know, to offer sort of really good classes and expose them to really quality teachers that we have vetted and recruited and have gone through our training system that we know will do a really good job, you know, because there's a lot of schools out there that struggle with recruitment, with retention, with training, you know, for quality teachers. So that's part of what we mean when we say that good teachers matter. You know, they matter in a lot of different contexts. They matter in the online setting. They matter at these schools that we're working to partner with. They matter across the board, you know. So we're trying to be a place where they go and where they feel comfortable and where they feel supported, and that's sort of what we're doing.
Yeah, no doubt. And so that's, like, in my experience speaking to a few head of schools, recruitment's one of the biggest challenges.
Absolutely.
Is obviously, you know, pay scale isn't what it is at public schools. That's just kind of the reality of it.
Absolutely.
How do you attract individual teachers? How do you go about doing that, knowing that the pay scale might not be what it is at a public school?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, what we try to do is provide teachers with you know, a bit of a different sort of experience in terms of flexibility of schedule. You know, we have some advantages of an online school where, you know, with a traditional boarding school, they have a very set schedule. They have to live in a certain place. They have to have different responsibilities that aren't necessarily focused on the one core thing that they do well. You know, if you go to a boarding school and you're really great at teaching Latin, well, guess what? You're doing dorm duty too, and you're coaching soccer too, and you're doing X, Y, and Z too. And you're not a good soccer coach. You're not good watching kids in the dorm, but you have to do those things. And what we're trying to do is, you know, create a program where you can do a lot of other things in your life, but they're things that you want to do, and you just focus on the thing that you do really well and that we're helping you to do really well, which is teaching. And so that, I believe, is our current competitive advantage and will be even more pronounced moving forward as we sort of continue to get more established.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of teachers, including, I'm thinking of some right now I've had in the past that really crave that kind of
life. Absolutely.
So yeah, that's awesome. Just lastly, a lot of the people listening to this are people who are considering going to boarding schools, or parents sure. that are considering sending their kids to boarding schools. You went to Petty. How did that experience impact your life? What would you say to kids who are considering going to boarding school?
Yeah, no, Petty is a great school, and I had a great experience, you know, and I have nothing, you know, I really have nothing really bad to say about the boarding school experience. You know, it's, it was, you know, Petty definitely, was an experience that changed my life. And part of the reason that Preston's was built was because myself and my brother and business partner who we started Preston's with, we both went to Petty, and, you know, we had some teachers that really did impact us. And me specifically, I can speak about myself, you know, really, really impacted me in a significant way. And that, you know, that was sort of the start of, you know, I think most people, you know, who have had a good education can think back on a teacher and say, that person, you know, whether I consciously realize it or not, that person had a major impact on me. You know, if you really think about it and if you really reflect on it, and maybe not many, you know, maybe one or two, and I had two or three at Petty that immediately come to mind, you know, that helped shape my thinking, you know, and helped me look at the world in a different way and just helped me, you know, helped to, you know, made an impact on me that still is with me to this day, you know? And so that was, and at a lot of boarding schools, you still have access to teachers like that, you know, and a boarding school education is really great, you know? And so what we sort of think is that, you know, not that we're trying to disrupt the boarding school model exactly, but a lot of what was great, you know, we think can be, you can achieve in an online setting, because that's exactly what we're trying to do, you know, and at a much lower price point, you know, and, you know, there's different benefits, you know, we will never have if you're a big time hockey player and you want to play prep hockey, you know, we're never going to be able to do that, you know, right? So there's certain things that we'll sort of never be able to do or compete with. But it's something that, you know, I think for the certain type of student, they're great, but there's a lot of type of students that it may not be great for, you know? And so that's something that I think you have to really, for someone who's considering going to a boarding school and making that investment of resources, of time, of 4 really important years of your life, you just have to really, you know, try and understand the school and what happens at these schools and not just rely on some website's ranking that this is a good school. You know, try to understand what it is about the school and try to understand yourself. You know, try to have some self-realization, some self-awareness to know that those two things would fit, you know, this school and you. And that's what I would advise, or that's what I would say.
Yeah, for sure. And then just, I mean, GAC, which who I'm working with right now, sure. I mean, they're huge in that, you know, and it's just any educational consultant is going to be able to help you. GAC, I found specifically works with the individual student. They're all online. This is something they do really well, whether it's therapeutic programs, you know, online programs like yourself, boarding, whatever it may be, they tailor to the individual student. I think that's really important and definitely important to know what you're getting into. So
absolutely.
For sure. Cool. Well, so where can people who are interested in Preston's find you, find the website?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jake. It's just www.prestons.us, and there's a you know, bunch of programs, you know, sort of listed for summer programs and really all through the year. Our full year programs are, you know, going to be sort of out and posted this summer for the school year. We're in the final stages of an accreditation process right now for our full school program. And so, yeah, there's an email address right on there. People should just sort of reach out and check out what we have going on. So thank you for good job. And thank you for taking the time to have me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, man.
All right. Bye-bye.